This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Trade talks in doubt. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka. On this Monday, May 6th, glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
After President Trump threatened to increase tariffs on imported Chinese goods, Beijing says it may cancel trade talks scheduled for this week.
National Security Advisor John Bolton says the U.S. is sending a Navy strike group and a bomber task force to the Middle East.
A showdown between Attorney General William Barr and Congress could come to a head today over a deadline to produce the full Mueller report.
And Cape Cod, Massachusetts, ahead of the summer tourist season, on edge over shark attacks.
The alert had been kind of rising for the last several years because of increased sightings of white sharks, great white sharks. And they seem to be there because of a rebounding seal population. And of course, as experts will tell you and data show, attacks really are quite rare. But when they do happen, they can be very serious.
And they make lots of news. Wall Street Journal reporter John Camp on nervous beachgoers in Cape Cod. He's here in about 25 minutes. The U.S. is sending the USS Abraham Lincoln Carrier Strike Group and a bomber task force to the Middle East. National Security Advisor John Bolton announced last night that the deployment was in response to a number of, quote, troubling indications and warnings by Iran. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
In a statement, Mr. Bolton said, while the U.S. is not seeking war with Iran, any attack on the United States' interests or on those of our allies will be met with unrelenting force. The deployment comes amid the bloodiest fighting in 5 years between Israel and Palestinian militants in the Gaza Strip. The announcement is also less than a month after the Trump administration designated Iran's elite Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps a terrorist organization. The strike group includes the aircraft carrier USS Abraham Lincoln, a guided missile cruiser, and destroyers. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. The Abraham Lincoln carrier strike group joins another aircraft carrier strike group that was in the Persian Gulf as recently as late March. Last month, the Air Force deployed a task force of F-35 stealth fighter jets for the first time to the Middle East. Last week, some of the advanced jets carried out their first airstrikes against ISIS. President Trump has threatened to sharply raise tariffs on Chinese imports because he's not happy with the pace of trade talks, which are set to resume this week. On Twitter yesterday, Mr. Trump indicated that he planned to raise levies from 10% to 25% on $200 billion of Chinese imports starting this Friday. He also wrote that he would impose 25% tariffs shortly on $325 billion in additional Chinese goods. National Economic Council Director Larry Kudlow was on Fox News.
The president is, I think, issuing a warning here.
Okay.
That, you know, we bent over backwards earlier. We suspended the 25% tariff to 10, and then we've left it there. That may not be forever if the talks don't work out.
The Wall Street Journal says China is now considering canceling trade talks that are set to resume in Washington starting Wednesday. There's been widespread expectation lately that an accord could be reached by Friday. CNBC says Mr. Trump's decision to more than double the tariff rate was meant to send a message to China not to come to the U.S. with more, quote, empty offers. Stock futures this morning have tumbled on the news. The clock is ticking in Washington over the Mueller report. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Gerald Nadler has given Attorney General William Barr until this morning to hand over the full, unredacted report and underlying evidence. President Trump indicated he didn't know what Mr. Barr would do.
I don't know. That's up to our Attorney General, who I think has done a fantastic job.
Meanwhile, Democratic lawmakers are preparing to begin contempt proceedings against Mr. Barr if he refuses to produce the final report on the investigation by Special Counsel Robert Mueller regarding Russian interference in the 2016 election. Mr. Barr missed an initial deadline last week
Illinois Democratic Senator Dick Durbin was on CBS's Face the Nation.
As far as I'm concerned, there's work to be done on the Mueller report in Volume 1 to protect us from Russian interference. Mm-hmm. The fact that the President of the United States had this conversation with Vladimir Putin within the last several days and didn't raise this issue after the Mueller report, what is he thinking?
The Mueller report found no collusion with Russians, but did not offer a conclusion on obstruction of justice. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business, but you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
This human resources professional is crushing it, thanks to Kronos. And this is his hype song.
You can fall back with the pack. I'm a leader pack.
I've got HR, payroll, talent, and time.
I'm on the top, I'm gonna rise up. Now we are
engaging all the best people.
Blast off to the front of the field. This is
Kronos. HR solutions for the modern workforce. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Monday. The Federal Reserve is being patient for now, not planning to raise interest rates after its latest policy meeting. That's bullish for stocks. But Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance, says at least one prominent investor feels markets should be prepared for rate hikes later this year. Rick, what are you hearing?
Well, this comes from just some interviews I've done with investors. Before the latest jobs report, there was kind of a growing belief that maybe the Federal Reserve was actually going to cut interest rates this year because we've seen some weakness in the economy. We just got a very strong jobs report, however, and there's no way the Fed is going to cut interest rates with the labor market as strong as it is. So that revives this idea that maybe the Fed will start hiking interest rates again. And the reason they would do that is the traditional reason that economists are very familiar with, which is that at some point you have to start worrying about inflation, because the way this normally works is as the labor market improves and labor gets very tight, companies have to pay more to workers to attract them. Wages go up. Wages are a significant factor in prices. So when wages go up, normally prices go up, and that's inflation. So the whole reason the Fed raises interest rates is to forestall inflation. The one thing missing from this equation is we just have not seen wages going up very much. So we do have very low inflation. And honestly, this is a conundrum for economists. This is not what they expected to see at this point in the cycle. And they are not quite sure what to think about it.
We're speaking with senior columnist Rick Newman from Yahoo Finance. And we know that President Trump's not a fan of the Fed raising interest rates. We know his opposition, though, might only get louder as the 2020 election gets closer.
Well, the Trump line right now, and now we're actually, it's like the memo went out in the White House, and now it's not just Trump, it's his economist Larry Kudlow is saying this. I think the Vice President Mike Pence is actually saying this now. Inflation is low, so the Fed should cut interest rates. That is not going to happen. That is not the reason the Fed cuts interest rates. The Fed cuts interest rates for essentially one reason only, which is to stimulate the economy when the economy is weak. We have not had a situation here in the United States where the Fed has had to cut interest rates to prevent deflation, which is when you actually get prices falling. We got close to that during the last recession, but the Fed did not actually do that. They have had to deal with that in Japan, but well, we're not Japan, not yet anyway. So President Trump wants low interest rates. He wants the Fed to cut rates because he wants a kind of artificial boost to the economy that will make growth stronger going into his reelection bid in 2020. That is basically what's going on. But that's not the reason the Fed is supposed to cut interest rates. The Fed cuts interest rates to stimulate the economy when it is weak. And nobody can make a credible argument right now that the economy is weak.
Speaking of President Trump, to this point, we know he's only presided over a pretty robust economy and hasn't had to deal, right, with any major slowdowns. How he responds to the next downturn, though, should it come before the election could be the biggest factor in whether or not he gets reelected. Is that fair?
I think it's fair to say, but you got to define downturn. At this point, economists don't think we're going to have a recession by Election Day 2020, which is now, less than 20 months away. And I mean, given the kind of job growth we're seeing and GDP growth is still pretty good, there's just nothing that would signal a recession is coming in that time frame. But President Trump will probably have a slowing economy to deal with. So we had growth, I think it was 2.9% in 2018. Economists say we might get 2.5% this year. It could be a little lower. But then in 2020, we could fall under 2%. So that means workers might feel a little less comfortable, a little less stable.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Britain National Security Advisor John Bolton says the U.S. is sending an aircraft carrier strike group and a bomber task force to the Middle East and a clear and unmistakable message to Iran. In a statement, Bolton said any attack on U.S. interests or on those of its allies will be met with unrelenting force. He added that the U.S. is not seeking war with the Iranian regime, but is fully prepared to respond to any attack, whether by proxy, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, or regular Iranian forces. 41 people on board a Russian Aeroflot passenger plane were killed after the aircraft caught fire as it made a bumpy emergency landing at a Moscow airport. Television footage showed the jet bouncing along the tarmac before the rear part of the plane suddenly burst into flames. Diana Magne of Sky News read a statement from Aeroflot.
In a statement, Aeroflot said the crew did everything possible to save passengers. The aircraft was evacuated in 55 seconds compared to the industry norm of 90 seconds. The captain was the last to leave the burning aircraft, the last to leave it alive.
Many passengers escaped via the plane's emergency slides that inflated after the hard landing. The plane had been carrying 73 passengers and 5 crew members. President Trump's turnaround on whether the special counsel should appear before Congress is sparking criticism from Democratic lawmakers eager to question the author of the report on Russia's election interference. Trump tweeted yesterday that Robert Mueller should not testify after previously saying he would leave the question of Mueller testifying to Attorney General William Barr. The Attorney General has said he had no objection to Mueller testifying. Michael Cohen's time is up. President Trump's ex-lawyer and fixer is due to start a 3-year prison sentence today for crimes including campaign finance violations related to hush money payments made on Trump's behalf. He'll be at a minimum security prison camp that has become a haven for white-collar criminals. Avengers Endgame continued its global domination at the box office in a second week victory lap that saw the blockbuster cross the $2 billion mark in record time and unseat Titanic as the second highest grossing film ever worldwide. Endgame is one of 5 movies to ever reach that threshold.
Man, is it going to catch Titanic?
Yep.
Holy cow.
Just did. Yep.
Oh.
It just did.
Got it.
Yep.
Record time for $2 billion.
Yep.
Insanity. Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Capital One. Capital One is reimagining banking, offering accounts with no fees or minimums that can be opened in 5 minutes. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Capital One, N.A. Sexual harassment complaints have increased significantly since the Me Too movement started in October of 2017, even as the total number of workplace complaints to federal regulators has declined. More from Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. Andy, what's going on?
Basically, in the last roundup of overall worker complaints given submitted to the EEOC, that's the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, there were over 76,000 complaints, and of that, about 7,000, more than 7,000, 7,609 were sexual harassment complaints. And that number is up about 13%. The number of sexual harassment complaints are up, even while overall complaints are going down. So as a proportion, it's growing.
Wow. All right. So this is seemingly directly tied to the Me Too movement, right? This is where these numbers come from?
That's the best guess of the observers, you know, people on the ground, the commission, you know, people who do the work. There's a thinking that there's an increased tendency to report what's been a persistent problem now that there's, you know, more of an atmosphere, you know, of people speaking out and saying, you know, this is not right. And the thinking is that the more people speaking out, that will encourage others. So that's what the thinking is.
There was one person in your story, too, who said, yes, while the reports of sexual harassment may be up 13%, that's probably far below the actual number, right? Because people tend to not report these.
That was actually from the acting chairwoman of the EEOC, and she was saying there's like a reporting rate of about 15 to 20%. And, you know, the thing is that complaints, it's still a risky bet. Even if, you know, someone's been wronged, it's still, you know, to make a complaint, it's, you know, they're possibly putting their job on the line, and or sometimes it's a resignation that they're they have to deal with it regretfully, and so that's why the reporting rate is low on this.
I'm speaking with Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. This piece is called "Why Workplace Sexual Harassment Complaints Keep Climbing." Another factor here, which I thought was interesting, about increased reporting, like there's more provability or something like that. One attorney said.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what you often hear with these kinds of cases is the phrase "he said, she said," where it's basically like my word against yours, and there's nothing else to back up one side or the other. But what one lawyer was saying is one thing you have to remember is now we have text messages and emails and photos and a digital data trail that wasn't there years ago. I mean, the more technology, you know, suffuses our life, there's more places to look for evidence.
Thanks, Andy. Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Are your credit card bills keeping you up at night? Interest rates in the double digits? Be smart and pay off your credit card balances with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Get a fixed rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay. It is so fast that you can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Plus, LightStream is a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest financial institutions, so you can have complete peace of mind. Want to save even more? My listeners get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/deal. That's LightStream, LightStream.com/deal. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/deal for more information. That's LightStream.com/deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us, and welcome into Monday, May 6th. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. President Trump threatens to hike tariffs on Chinese goods because of the slow pace of trade talks. The U.S. deploys a strike group to the Middle East as a message to Iran. Already saturated from heavy snow, the Plains and Midwest are bracing for more storms and flooding this week. Tiger Woods today receives the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and the high school senior who's earned nearly $4 million in total college scholarship offers. That story in about 20 minutes. Cape Cod is expecting some unwanted visitors this summer. The Massachusetts vacation destination, known for its pristine beaches, has become a global hotspot for great white sharks. And a handful of attacks already by the apex predator have folks on edge. It's a story by Wall Street Journal reporter John Camp. John, what's up here?
The alert had been kind of rising for the last several years because of increased sightings of white sharks, great white sharks, and they seem to be there because of a rebounding seal population. And of course, as experts will tell you and data show, attacks really are quite rare, but when they do happen, they can be very serious. And at the very tail end of the summer season last year, a man in September was bitten while boogie boarding off a beach on Cape Cod, and he died from his injuries. And this was only about a month after another man was bitten on a nearby beach and had very, very severe injuries. He survived, but still, a great white shark biting you can be quite damaging.
So this wasn't really a problem for the last 30 years, but with the fish and seals rebounding, so are the sharks?
That's right. That's what scientists seem to think. I will say that great white sharks are still kind of mysterious, but we do know that they're quite good at finding and eating food, and they like seals. And in some ways, what's happening here is quite fascinating in the sense that people are responding as if this is a new problem. What's really happening, according to scientists, is that Cape Cod is becoming more wild again. And in the case of seals, they have been protected since 1972 by a federal law. And prior to that, they were essentially wiped out from the Cape. And so people, generations of people who vacation there, really grew accustomed to going into the water in a very carefree way, not having to worry about this. And now they are having to adjust to the fact that when it's a more wild and natural environment, there are risks.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter John Camp. And while you say shark attacks are rare, sharks are certainly not as ruthless as they were portrayed in the movie Jaws, right? The problems associated with an increase in shark attacks are somewhat similar. Obviously, the safety of the people swimming is paramount, but if people are scared to take their vacation in Cape Cod this summer, there's some very real economic impacts as well.
The Cape depends on a heavy flow of visitors, including folks from around New England who, you know, brave the terrible traffic to go there every weekend, and tourists. And if people are afraid of the water, sure, there's a fear that that's going to put a dent in the summertime economy, which really is crucial for the Cape. And it's really hard to kind of say what's going to happen because this will be the first summer where we see how people are responding to that fatality. But certainly, anecdotally, you are hearing that people say, yeah, we're afraid of the water. We're our family doesn't really want to go in the water, or I don't know if I want my family swimming. One impact that we do see is on the surfing community, where, you know, there are fewer people who seem to be signing up for surf lessons and things like that. And so we'll see whether or not that actually starts to dent travel plans, or if people still choose to go to the Cape and maybe just not go too far into the water or stick to the hotel pool.
What are some of the solutions here, John, being proposed to try and turn things around?
In the near term, the big solution is really making sure that first responders on the beach are equipped to deal with traumatic injuries. And that's because what happens with a shark attack is that even if a shark accidentally bites you, there can be really, really severe bleeding injuries as a result of that. So you want to make sure you have things like tourniquets and bandages available and trained people to deal with bleeding injuries, because that's what can save your life. Another thing that they have been working on is installing call boxes, because cell phone service can be spotty in remote areas, so they want to make sure people can call 911 from the beach if necessary. So that's really step one. Longer term, there's a study underway right now to see if there's some way to try and mitigate the risk that sharks and humans in close proximity will result in problems. And that could be anything ranging from some kind of barrier or net to, more methods for detecting sharks, like sonar buoys or something like that. That is really undecided right now.
Thanks, John. Wall Street Journal reporter John Camp from New England. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, with the increasing popularity of wireless earbuds, such as Apple's AirPods, it's become commonplace for us to fall asleep while still wearing them. What is less common, however, is somehow swallowing the device in your sleep. According to the Daily Mail, that's what apparently happened to a man in Taiwan named Ben Su. According to the report, Su woke up from a nap and couldn't find one of his AirPods. After searching all over his bed and finding nothing, he decided to track the device and hit the play sound option. He was then shocked to hear the missing AirPod beeping from within his stomach. Somehow, someway, the rogue AirPod fell into his mouth mid-slumber, whereupon Su swallowed it. Incredibly, It apparently still worked as it made its way through his digestive tract. Sue wisely went to a hospital where doctors helped him flush the device out. Sue noted the battery was still at 41%, and after being washed and dried, the pricey device still worked, and apparently he went ahead and still used it.
Oh my goodness.
I think that's kind of burying the headline here.
Yeah.
Is that he swallows this, which is kind of crazy enough in and of itself, but
right.
Then it comes out the back end, and then he goes and washes it and
puts it in his
puts
ear.
It right back in. Sure. Yeah. Why not? I mean, these
of
things
course.
Are expensive. I mean, it would cost a few hundred dollars to replace. So
well, better than putting it on, you know, for sale online or something.
I suppose.
That. Yeah.
I suppose if anyone's going to use it, it should be him, right?
I was just surprised by the phrase you used in which you said the rogue AirPod fell into his mouth mid-slumber.
Yes.
I'm only guessing, like, he's sleeping on his side
with
his ear on the pillow.
Right.
It tumbles out, mm-hmm. He moves, and somehow his mouth gets near it, and
right.
He, like, snaps it like the way a frog would grab a cricket off a tree branch.
Right, right. Or is a very heavy breather while he's
yeah.
sleeping, gets sucked in,
okay.
that kind of thing.
Or,
I mean, it's a miracle that he didn't choke on it, is
right.
really what, again,
right.
burying the headline here, he right. didn't choke on this thing.
Maybe he had a dream that he needed a mint.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
he just popped this thing in his mouth during his nap.
Yeah,
that is...
or he's just hungry. You know, you've heard people like eating their pillow
right.
when they're
yeah,
sleeping.
He didn't
they think it's a marshmallow or something. You know,
oh my goodness.
Who knows? Oh my gosh.
Why is AC/DC coming from my stomach? Right?
Yeah, and you know the phrase "Gordon, go big or go home." That appears to have been the motto of one Pennsylvania man who racked up a staggering $128,000 in unpaid tolls and fines. That man, whose last name is Stiff, incidentally, stiffed the state for over 2,200 trips on the Pennsylvania Turnpike from 2012 to 2017. The 36-year-old from suburban Philadelphia pled guilty in April and will now only have to pay $11,500 of the six-figure sum, but will also have to serve 5 years probation. The state is said to be going more aggressively after high-volume toll evaders such as Mr. Stiff in an effort to recoup heavy losses from unpaid tolls.
I see. So in Pennsylvania,
yes,
a high-volume
yes.
toll evader is north of $100,000 in unpaid tolls.
Yes. I mean, he wasn't the only one, but he was the biggest one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the money's going to go to good use because that road nearby here, the Pennsylvania
yes.
Turnpike, always under construction.
Right. As it has been for the last 85
yeah,
years.
Yeah. They have to finish yeah. the construction eventually. So hopefully that money will go to good use.
The the Pennsylvania Turnpike runs from New Jersey all the way to Ohio.
Ohio, yes.
Yeah, about 375 miles, maybe more. So
350 of those are always under construction.
That's correct, with one lane
right.
during the middle of the day. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
At Dell, we know running a small business takes hard work. As a thank you, for all of Small Business Month, we're offering up to 45% off select computers with Intel Core processors. Plus, get additional savings when you call a Dell Small Business Technology Advisor. Call 877-BUY-DELL today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Additional savings valid May 6th through 30th at 8 a.m. Eastern on select computers from customer calls Dell. Excludes Dell Canvas, PowerEdge T30, and select order codes.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. Leaving your job can mean making some big life changes. It's important that you're prepared. USA Today has 5 financial to-dos so the job switch is a seamless one. Number 1, get the right health insurance coverage in place. Even if your new company has a policy, there may be a waiting period before you become eligible for it. You could keep your current coverage under COBRA, but will have to begin paying full premiums if your employer was subsidizing coverage. Number 2, collect any accrued vacation time or sick days, or you may miss out on hundreds or even thousands of dollars of income that you're owed. Number 3, decide what to do about your workplace retirement plans. If you were invested in a workplace 401k, you have a few options. You could keep it where it is, you could roll it over to an IRA, or roll it over into your new employer's 401k. Number 4, adjust your budget for your new salary. If your pay is changing, so should your expenses. And number 5, put some cash in the bank to help you through the transition. It is 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Report on global stock markets are plunging as trade tensions between the U.S. and China escalate. In tweets yesterday, President Trump threatened to ramp up U.S. tariffs on Chinese imports, putting an accord between the two countries in doubt as Beijing considers pulling out of trade talks scheduled to begin this week. National Economic Council Director Larry Kudlow spoke with Fox.
We will continue the tariffs. We believe that's in the best interest of the United States, and China has got to end its unfair, non-reciprocal trading system. They're breaking the laws.
Investors fear the trade talks will break down. A Chinese spokesman says a team from Beijing is still preparing to travel to the U.S. this week for talks. North Korea's test of what appears to be new short-range ballistic missiles may not have been a direct threat to the U.S., but experts warn it's almost certain an omen of bigger problems on the horizon. But Secretary of State Mike Pompeo told ABC he remains bullish on talks with North Korea.
Make no mistake, the United States continues to apply pressure. The UN sanctions are continued to be enforced. We're expending a lot of energy to do that. We think it's simply important that we play out every diplomatic opportunity, every opportunity we have.
The test, complete with photos of a bullseye out to sea, alarmed Washington's regional allies. Boeing says it discovered after airlines had been flying its 737 MAX plane for several months that a safety alert in the cockpit was not working as intended, yet it didn't disclose that fact to airlines or federal regulators until after one of the planes crashed. The feature was designed to warn pilots when a key sensor might be providing incorrect information about the pitch of the plane's nose. Speculation in the UK is growing that the royal baby has already been born. Further proof, British bookmakers have suspended betting on the due date after a number of customers placed bets on dates that have already passed. There's also been a surge in betting on the child being a girl named Ivy. And bettors have often led the way when it comes to Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's announcements, including correctly guessing the couple's engagement before it was officially announced. Betting was suspended over the due date when there was abnormal activity placed on it being May 3rd.
Whoa. That is weird that the baby may have been born and the world doesn't know.
Yeah, they're keeping it secret in so far. But
how about that?
Yep.
Thank you, Jen. It's 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. A high school senior from New Orleans has some big decisions ahead of her after being accepted to 116 colleges and universities. Antoinette Love, an 18-year-old at the International High School of New Orleans, said she's received acceptance letters from 116 higher education institutions and is still waiting to hear back from 11 others. Ms. Love, who is planning to major in elementary education, has also been offered $3.7 million in scholarship money. She told the New Orleans Advocate that she started applying in September and just kept applying until her tiny mailbox at home was suddenly overflowing with letter after letter and dozens of scholarship offers. She's maintained a 3.5 GPA, has been dual enrolled at Delgado Community College for 2 semesters, and was inducted into the National Senior Beta Club, the National Honor Society, among others. She says it's a dream come true and that all of her hours of studying, writing, and classes have paid off in the best possible way. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.